As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This is Issues 2021. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Sedgwick County Sheriff Jeff Easter. Welcome to Issues 2021, Sheriff. Nice to have you with us.
Well, I appreciate it, Steve. I always look forward to this.
It appears that we have the worst behind us when it comes to the COVID pandemic, although people are still getting sick all the time. How would you describe the pandemic impact on the operation of the Sedgwick County Sheriff's Department?
It has had a huge impact on us. From the beginning of it, taking all the precautions we could, we still ended up with numerous inmates that tested positive for COVID. Some were hospitalized. Our staff started coming down with COVID, which already created a bigger issue than we already had with being short personnel. We've got through the main portion of that, which was last August when we were hit really hard. It flared back up a little bit. We've had 19 positive tests since April. And we've had a few deputies come down with COVID as well. And so, but it's not been near the impact. The problem is that the court backlog because of COVID, that's where we're really seeing the effects. And so we have right now 119 folks that have allegedly committed murder in our custody. And then a lot of other really heinous type crimes that have been committed that are in our custody because the courts are now back open, but they're trying to get through this backlog, which means we're full, and it's mainly now violent criminals. Over 75% are charged with a felony type crime, mainly violent crimes.
Well, I'm sure, as you said, some of your people have caught the virus. Have you lost anyone in the department to COVID?
No, we have not.
Okay.
Thankful for that. We've had a couple people were in ICU, hospitalized. When we say lost, we have not had anybody pass away. We have had one retirement because of previous issues that they had plus COVID. They couldn't return to work. We have another one that is probably going down that path as well, just created a lot of health issues for him.
What is the department's policy regarding vaccinations? I'm sure it's the same as for the entire county, but what is that policy, if there is one?
Right now, it's their choice. When Johnson & Johnson came out, the health department came here to the facility on two different occasions, and quite a few people got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
That's the one-time shot, right?
Yes.
Okay. Do your deputies on the street take special precautions during their daily contact with the public? I mean, I could see somebody pulling somebody over for a speeding ticket and basically get into fairly close contact with them.
Yeah, so we've lifted the ban, the procedures we had in place where they had to have a mask on with any contact, those type of things. We still have deputies that practice that. And so we haven't seen near the exposures in the commission side or patrol division as we saw in the jail. And the jail is close proximity all the time. And it's just a little bit different environment because it's indoors as well.
It's indoors. There's instances, though, where you're going to have to, I presume, take somebody and put them in the back of a squad car.
Yeah, yes.
That's pretty
and
close
so,
contact.
and we put that back into place that, if we're transporting people, they have to mask up. They need to put a mask on the prisoner as well, and then they have to be masked when they come inside the jail.
You know, we've talked before about the mental challenges law enforcement faces in the people the officers confront, the suspects or the perpetrators. Has there been an uptick in that kind of behavior during the pandemic? In other words, has that mental behavior out there gotten worse, better? No change?
I hear a lot of people talk about, well, this is all because of COVID. I can tell you COVID has exacerbated the issue. However, my belief still is the amount of drug usage that is taking place in this community is over the top. And methamphetamine has just created all kinds of issues. And so that also emulates mental health issues because it burns holes in your brain that they never get that function back. And so you throw that on top of just the violent nature of society right now. COVID could be a piece of that, but there's a lot of violence taking place in this community. And I think it's not just one issue that's creating that.
But, you know, we've talked about meth before, and I think that you've told me that's the biggest drug problem you have in the county. And I frankly don't know much about it. I understand.
Well, that's good.
You have to. I'm not going to help you out there, but I understand you have to cook it. And there's the things you have to be kind of have a little lab going. But, gosh, it sounds like there are a lot of people out there who know what they're doing. They know more than I do about making this stuff.
Yeah, you know, in the 90s, we used to have what was called Klan labs or Nazi labs, where they were cooking it themselves. State of Kansas passed a fantastic law where they can't get access to more than two boxes of the main ingredient, which is pseudoephedrin. It's all coming across the border now, so it's all cartel meth. They control the market. They've made it extremely cheap right now, which that's how you get more people addicted to it. And that's what we're facing. And so meth is the cheapest drug you can buy out there right now. And that's what folks with addiction issues have turned to. The problem with meth is it's man-made. Anything that's man-made is a lot worse for you than naturally grown, like coca plants and those type of things. And so it manipulates your systems. It eats through your systems. And again, it emulates that they have mental health issues at the same time. So we have mental health crises that are taking place, plus you throw methamphetamine on top of that, and that's why we're in the dilemma we're in right now. And most of the violent crime that we work, there is a meth component to it. Either they were high on it, they were trying to get it, or they were trying to take it from somebody else for their own use.
And you mentioned something there that I've noticed just in covering the news, and that is the nature of the violence that people are perpetrating on each other. I mean, they don't just shoot them. They mutilate their body. They do all kinds of things. And that meth, does it just make them go crazy? Is that what it was?
Yeah. You throw on top of that the fact that when they're smoking meth, they are having a lot of sleep issues, sleep deprivation, the craving to continue to smoke meth, and basically they can't sleep. And so when you throw all that in, that will cause a lot of issues within the brain that people will do things that not necessarily they would do in their right frame of mind. And that goes on quite a bit with folks that are smoking meth.
So where are we in dealing with this, with the mental and drug challenges? Just a never-ending battle? I mean,
You know, we've been fighting the battle on drugs since the 80s. As a beat cop in Wichita, where you're very hard-nosed, and if you're in possession of drugs, you go to jail and hopefully go off to prison. That didn't work then. It's not really working now, to be real honest with you. I can tell you, inside the jail, there's very few people that are inside or waiting trial inside the jail for simply possessing any type of narcotic. When you come in for possession of a narcotic, they're released within about an hour or two, because it's going to take us time to get it tested, to find out exactly what it is, to be able to present for charges. And you only have 72 hours to charge a case. It's going to take longer than that. So our jail here is not full of just people that use drugs. Now, it's full of people that use drugs and committed terrible other crimes, but through the Mental Health and Substance Abuse Coalition that has been formed, we're looking at other ways to address these two issues, and it's to address it in a collaborative effort with other nonprofits and other entities that possess the skills to give treatment on both of those issues, and bringing us closer together and providing a more holistic look at those issues, and getting people back up on their feet and being productive again. You know, we have 1,500 inmates inside the walls here. If we can turn the lives around of 10% of people, I mean, that's 300 people that are no longer in the jail that taxpayers are paying to keep locked up. So we still have to do the enforcement. We still have to try to eliminate the drugs coming into this community. But on the backside, the incarceration of people using drugs just isn't taking place anymore. The laws aren't set up to incarcerate them. And so we have got to look at this as a community of doing it differently. And hoping that we'll have some successes along the way, that folks are back up on their feet, and they're productive citizens, they're mothers and fathers again to their kids, and move on.
Is this coalition a relatively new thing?
We started it here officially about 2 years ago.
Okay.
And it involves folks from the nonprofit world, law enforcement, the DA, business folks from the community, of course, ComCare, SAC, which is the Substance Abuse Center of Kansas, and Via Christi. And so it started out as us all kind of pointing fingers at each other because everybody is so overwhelmed that this is your fault and why can't you do this better and blah, blah, blah. We quickly got over that and figured out this is all our problem and we need to look at it differently. And that's where we've gone. So we built a strategic plan. We have some specific goals because the other problem here, even though we're a large city, we don't have near enough mental health workers. ComCare is 100 and some odd people short from what they need to do to provide better mental health care. Via Christi has been kind of dumped into the de facto mental health hospital here in Wichita because we have issues at the state level with them properly funding Osawatomie and Larned and those type of things. So the system is very, in my opinion, somewhat broke, but it is very overwhelmed. And that's why we're seeing all this hit at the same time.
Yeah, that was one of my questions. What's the state's role in this, the state of Kansas? Are they attuned to what's going on and they're ready to come and help with it any way they can? Or
they're in tune, and legislators are in tune. I mean, I serve on several committees now at the legislative level to talk about what exactly is going on and the assistance that's needed from the state level, because Osawatomie has been in a moratorium now for 6 years and don't have several beds that they can't use and those type of things. Larned does the mental health evaluations and for the criminally mentally ill, and then Restoration. Well, you know, we have some inmates in here that are waiting for 14 months to go have their mental health evaluated and restored before they can even stand trial. So they're sitting in here for 14 months. We have one individual that here about 6 weeks ago, got into a fight with one of our deputies, and our deputy suffered about 6 facial fractures. He is an issue every day. I just reviewed another video the other day where he was fighting deputies and they had to tase him. Well, he's on the wait list to go to Larned. That shouldn't be that way. This guy is has a lot of issues, and we're not equipped here in the jail to deal with the mental health issues because we can't give. He won't take medication, so we cannot force him to take medication without a court order. Those type of things that the state has the opportunity to do. But they're so backlogged that, you know, we still have him sitting here. We have an individual that's been sitting here at least 6 years now awaiting murder. And it's the individual that raped and set the young lady on fire up at Fairmont Park. He still hasn't gone to trial because of his mental health issues. And so, yeah, we need more help from the state, plain and simple. But we also took it on that we weren't getting that help that we needed. So we've got to do something locally to solve some of our own issues.
You're listening to Issues 2021 on the Odyssey radio stations, and our guest is Sedgwick County Sheriff Jeff Easter. I want to turn this into a little more personal thing, not for you personally, but I know among my friends, and I'm a middle-aged person or whatever, among my male friends that I hang out with, during this pandemic, we've almost, to a man, expressed some degree of depression or dark moods or whatever. Just in dealing with that, how about your deputies and your officers? Are they seeing the same thing?
Yeah, you know, the other thing that we're experiencing is folks that have gone into a mental health crisis while on the job. And we've had to take them to the hospital to deal with some of those emotions. So everyday life still goes on. But it seems to me that we're having a lot more issues with everyday life. And then folks having a hard time dealing with that, and then compiled with overworked here, with COVID, those type of issues. And then, of course, the stuff that happened last summer where, you know, the law enforcement took quite the beating. And so we have a lot of people that are suffering those same things as citizens such as yourself. And so we have to take care of our people, because if we're not healthy in mind and in our health, our physical health, then we're not going to be able to help anybody. So we have done a lot of changes within the sheriff's office. We've started a health and wellness coordinating position, and that's doing peer support. And so we have about 35 people trained on peer support to help our folks for just, you know, things that they might be experiencing to prevent them getting into a mental health crisis. And that program is building as we speak. We're going to be adding a therapist so that we have a therapist within the sheriff's office to be able to talk to these folks, because cops are very leery about talking about their problems. And that's we got to change the culture on that, because historically, you know, even when I came on, it, you know, we were told just to kind of suck it up and go back and make the next call and not to show emotion. Well, you know, that's led to divorce rates being high, suicide rates, and alcoholism within law enforcement is very high. And it's because we haven't handled that very well. And so we've got to make changes to allow our folks to be successful and healthy while they're doing this profession.
And the other day, we've had a couple of officer-involved shootings here in the city recently. That's just one more aspect of the stress that's involved with being a law enforcement officer. You know, you may have to face that terrible situation at any time.
Well, you have to face it, and you know, all the cops I grew up around and the cops I work with now, that's not why we joined law enforcement, was to shoot people, and if you have to, take another one's life. But you also know that these folks a lot of times put themselves in that situation. They're responsible for their actions, and we have to protect life and property. And sometimes that means we have to engage in, you know, a use of force situation that can turn deadly.
Let's go back to the jail for just a second, because during the pandemic, we've talked about the fact that you're the jail's a little bit different from other from a prison or something like that when it comes to a pandemic. because you got people coming in and out all the time, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's very unique, and I found it somewhat, I don't know the exact word here I'm using, I guess, but that, you know, people on the outside that have no idea on jailing services, you know, want to tell you how the jail should be run. Well, the fact of the matter is that we have people coming and going nonstop. And, you know, we quarantine for 10 days all the new people coming in. So that takes up space. We quarantine folks that have tested positive. That takes up space. We have individuals in here that are flagged against each other. So they can't be around other people. So that takes up space to keep everybody separated. We then have sex offenders who can't be in general population because of their offenses. The other inmates will probably do something to them. So that takes up space. In the end, there's not enough space to do everything that is recommended by the CDC or mainly the state of Kansas in a jail. And so, you know, we do the best we can to hopefully stop the spread of COVID. But at the same time, we also have to look out for the safety of the prisoners in our custody, which means we can't compromise the other policies and mechanisms we have in place to keep people away from each other. You know, when you have the violence that we have going on, you have folks that are in here for, you know, murder charges themselves, and a family member of theirs gets murdered, and those people come into our custody. And usually it's not just one. It's more than one person that's involved in those murder cases. So everybody has to keep – we have to keep them separated for everything. And that takes a lot of time and effort and coordination on our behalf.
How many people do you have in custody right now who are waiting to go to trial on homicide charges? What, it's 75, something like that?
119 people waiting for homicide charges.
I was a little low there. Wow.
Yeah. Lucky we had 121 the other day. A couple cases got resolved. That's the most ever that, well, every time there's a murder, it turns into being the most ever. Usually we set around 60, 65 people waiting homicide charges. You know, we're double that right now.
Is the courts now, are they pretty well getting going? Are they up and running?
They're up and running, yes. But, you know, homicide cases are unique. I mean, it's those are long, drawn-out, involved cases. You can't just say, okay, I'm ready for court today, and the accused gets their day in court, which means their lawyers will file different type of
motions.
For, you know, suppression of evidence, suppression of statements, those type of things. And so they take time to work through. And, you know, the DA's office is doing the best they can to work those cases through the system and also make sure that person that's accused of that crime is treated fairly and receives a fair trial.
Here's a problem that everybody in the country has right now, and I'm sure you do too, and that is you probably got the help wanted, sign out, and you're not finding enough people to fill the slots. What's your employment situation looking right now?
Yeah, we have 17 people or 17 recruits in the academy right now, which is a very large academy class for us on the commission side. We are still currently 75 deputies down inside the jail. And so we contribute to some of that. 10 of the 17 recruits came from the jail, which is a very good thing. We also have other agencies in the area that take our detention deputies and give them the opportunity to be commissioned police officers for them, which we've always been an entity that law enforcement comes and looks for because of their experience and their training that they receive as detention deputies, which is a good thing. So we will always have that rotation. But the fact of the matter is we don't have a lot of people applying in law enforcement in general, which means they're not going to apply for the jail because most people that apply for the jail want to be cops somewhere. And so, yes, we are experiencing major issues with personnel, not staffed enough. All of us have been working inside of the jail, all commission, colonels, captains, myself have been working inside the jail to make up for the lack of staff. And so there's a level of burnout that's taking place in amongst our staff who normally doesn't work in the jail either. Plus they work on the streets. So it's a problem. We've done some things differently. We've cut down our academy class so we can infuse people in there quickly. We're looking at some additional camera systems so pods can be monitored by camera, not with the deputy inside the pod, to free up personnel to do other things. So we're looking at a whole variety of issues to help get us moving forward. I will tell you, generally, my first 6-7 years here, the amount that we were short in the jail was around 30 to 40. Right now, the last year and a half, it's been 70 to 90.
Well,
and so I hope that's not the new norm, but if it is, we got to figure out other ways to continue to keep our people safe and the folks that we have in our custody.
All right, we're out of time. Hey, thanks as always. I know you haven't been well, so I appreciate you being on with us this morning.
I appreciate it, Steve. Yeah. I always look forward to
okay.
it.
Okay, thanks a lot. That's, of course, our Sedgwick County Sheriff, Jeff Easter, and that's all for this edition of Issues 2021. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.